to do something, and actually, be honest with you, I was headed in a different direction with this, and God just kind of put this right square upon my heart to share this tonight. I don't know, it seems like for just some period of time here that I have had on my heart the last two or three messages that I've had. I wanted to get across to you how important staying in the Word is. Being in the Word of God and reading it and doing all that. So I wanted to kind of do something tonight to show you how the Word of God is tied to something else through Scripture so that it will make you hopefully appreciate the Word of God even more than you do now. And I certainly hope that you do. So I want to share this message about how to stay alive, staying alive spiritually. And I was going to do the Bee Gees thing, but I thought better of it. No, don't do that. But anyway, that's what it is, staying alive spiritually. Now, we know kind of what it's like to try to struggle to stay alive physically. I certainly do, and I know some of you do as well. But, you know, I looked at this, and I looked some of this up. So kind of humor me here a little bit. The Bible says that the Word of God is bread, it's water, and it is breath. It's those three things, bread, water, and breath. Now, I looked this up, and I want to ask you, how long do you think a person can go, any human can go without food? Anybody got an idea? Okay, yeah.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, let's see. Well, I've got 40 to 80 days. Now, I didn't believe that. I'll just be honest with you. I still don't believe it. I don't see how anybody can go without food. I thought 40 minutes maybe I could... 40 to 80 days, and it also that depends on what kind of condition you're in, okay? And then how long could you go without water? Anybody know how long you could go without drinking water?
4 days.
4 days, okay. Man, that's not bad. It says anywhere from 4 to 12 days. Somewhere in that range is how long you can go without drinking water. Now, how long could you go without air? How long could you go without taking a breath? Okay. What?
Maybe a minute.
No? Anybody else got a guess at it? Okay. I'll tell you this. The Navy SEALs have to train for this. I read this. The Navy SEALs have to train for this, and they're supposed to be able to hold their breath 4 minutes to 8 minutes. I can't even imagine that. I mean, that's ridiculous. But they're supposed to do that. Now, I have also read where the world record for holding your breath, keeping your breath at one time, is 6 minutes. Now, how many of us know this? I want you to kind of identify with this. The air in mountainous country or countries at a higher elevation than we are here, if we were to go, well, Colorado certainly one of them. You hear a lot said about it when the Colorado baseball team plays somebody there, and they say the air is so thin that the ball just flies out of the ballpark. It has very little resistance. But you know, and I know what kind of place you get into when you get in a place like that. Believe it or not, years ago, Sharon and I, we climbed Stone Mountain on the other side of Atlanta. We actually climbed up the back of it. I don't know if any of you ever done that, but when we got to the top, that's not that high. When we got to the top, man, I was bent over, and I saw people taking pictures, hey, you know, I'm up here. I was going like, God, please let me get down, you know. But the air was very thin. And you know, I say that to say this to you. How many Christians, when they get under a little bit of stress, when they run out of breath, because they don't know or they don't spend enough time in the Word of God. Now, I want you to see the parallel in what I'm fixing to do between the Word of God and the breath of God. Now, look at 2 Timothy 3:16 that I've got on there for you. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now here's what I want. I love that verse, but here's what I want you to get from that. Now that first part, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That given by the inspiration of God. If you look in the Greek meaning, and you come out with basically two words there, I want you to see this. And it is theos, Nuastas, okay? Theos nuastas, okay? And that last word, of course, theos stands for God. That's a divinity term for God. And pneumastis has to do with wind or breath. So basically what that said, if you put that back in there, that meaning, it said God breathed. God breathed. All scripture is what? God breathed. And it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. It is exactly what God breathed. Now, this word of God that we're talking about is the breath of God. So when you read it, you inhale the breath of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that before, but I just proved to you in scripture that's what it is. When you get in this word of God, what you're actually doing is you're inhaling the breath of God. That breath of God is coming to you, inside you. Anytime you pick this word up and you try to read it, anything that you can do to improve yourself in that way, then it is the breath of God. This Bible is not a history book. It does have history in it, and it is perfectly reliable and correct in every term that is involved in history. So you know, it is that, but it's also a living thing. It's breath. And breath has to do with life. Now, I want to show you some things in the next story that I think probably will help us as we go along. Look at Ezekiel. I'm going to read all of it, so don't fall asleep on me. And then we'll go back and pick some parts out of it. I'm going to show you four quick points. Do you hear me? You can count them with me. It says Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. And it says, then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh, Lord, you know. In other words, you know, you're the only one that does. And so he said, you know. And then in verse 4, he says, again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. Sinews is a term that I believe refers more to tendons, ligaments, and some muscles in your body. So he's going to put the tendons, the ligaments, the muscles into that form of bones that's being formed here. And then we'll see what he's going to do. He says, I'll put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you. And you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Now, I want to stop right there just a second and make you understand something. That this was not skeletons, okay? This was not dead skeletons that were laying there. All you had to do just whip it right into place and put it. These were bones. There's no reference in scripture to this being a valley of skeletons. It doesn't say that. So when we think of that, we need to understand that that's what God is trying to get us to understand there, that there are no skeletons there. It's just bones. He said, a bone to bone, it came together. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds. That word winds also translates into breath. O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. An exceedingly great army. Now, I've got four quick points I want to share with you, and then we'll be done. Now, if we had more of the breath of God in us, then the greater the army of the men of God would be. You understand what I'm saying? The better off we are with the breath of God inside of us, then the better off we're going to be to serve God and his army as his people. Now, the first thing I want to share with you is this. The written word, number one, the written word brings understanding. It brings understanding. Now, up in verse 3 that I just read to you, it said, "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And so I answered, "Oh Lord, you know." Now, you know what the rural Alabama answer to that would be, don't you? "I don't know." And that's pretty much what he said. I don't know. I don't really understand what you're talking about. I don't know. You asking me, can these bones live? And, you know, I'm just telling you, I don't know. And so we're kind of a lot that way, too. When you think about it, we get into the I don't knows, and all of a sudden we're captured and lost into that. And the only way to get understanding, folks, about not only the things of God, but the things in your life, the only way to gain understanding is let the word breathe on you. That's the only way to do it. We've short-circuited it. We as a church and leaders and folks like that, we've kind of short-circuited it. I don't care if you have an iPad or whatever it is, as long as it's the word of God, it doesn't matter which vehicle you use to do it. But we have pretty much taken that as a Sunday thing that our pastor is going to fill us up on Sunday, and you know, that's all well and good. But can I tell you, it was never meant to be a daily thing. It never meant to be just one time a week. That's not what it was. It was meant more for you to spend more and more time in the Word. Now, Job 32:8, I've got there for you. It said, there is a spirit in man. Now, watch this. And the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Where does understanding come from, folks? It comes from the breath of the Almighty. What is the breath of the Almighty that we just talked about? It's the Word of God. We just proved it through Scripture. It's the Word of God. That's the breath. So he says that breath gives him understanding. Now, can I say this to you? Have you ever went through something and thought this? If I could just get over this thing, if I could just understand it, I believe I could handle it better if I just understood what's happening here, what's going on. And we say that time and time again. But, you know, let me say this. There are a lot of questions we ask in our life. You hear me? We ask, God, can my marriage survive? You know, I don't know. But God doesn't say that. If we read the Word of God, we find out in the Word of God, oh, yes, it can. There's a way. And then we ask ourselves, you know, Lord, to the business I've just started, is it going to stand? Is it going to be well blessed? And again, the answer, if we had to answer it, is, you know, I don't know. But we need to know. And the only way to know is to read this Word. That's the only way you're going to bring it about. Now, we also ask ourselves, can I survive the health problems that I have? That's a very difficult question for those that have them. For those of you who don't, then you don't really understand the question. But you get into the Word of God, it will answer that question as well. It'll answer anything that you need to know about understanding can come from this book of Scripture. You'll never understand, folks, what you're going through until you get into the Word of God. And you settle yourself on the peace of God and trust him as sovereign Lord. And when you do that, you know, the understanding of what you're going through will be second nature then. It'll come in second place is actually what it will do. Now, I heard this, you know, one of the things we have trouble understanding is our children, you know, our parents don't understand, our children don't understand. And I heard this story about Bill Cosby before, back when he was popular. He's not now, but I heard this story that he came home one day to his house and he looked and saw his son, and his son had shaved his head completely bald. And so he, you know, kind of walked over to his son and he said, "Why did you shave your head?" And his son said, "I don't know." He said, "I don't know." He said, "I don't know. I just did." And he said, then he asked his son the question, Did you, was your head with you all day wherever you went? I don't know. So we need to fill in the blanks where the I don't knows are. We need to learn how to do that. You know, we'll get to a point, hopefully, folks, where parents will understand children through the Word of God. You know, if you're struggling right now trying to understand your children, look and stay in the Word of God, and God will talk to you. He'll reveal it to you. You know, and husbands and wives the same way. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, husbands live with wives with understanding. Husbands are to live with their wives with understanding. And likewise, the wives are supposed to live with their husbands with understanding. Where does understanding come from? It comes from the breath of God. Where's the breath of God come from? Right here in this word. That's where it is. We've established that. Now, look with me at Luke 24:45 that I've got there for you. It's a little small scripture. It said, and he opened their understanding that they may comprehend the scriptures. How was their understanding affected? It was just the breath of God. That's all it was. And that's all it's needed. We're gonna just keep on until we understand things so that we might comprehend the scriptures that we're reading. We might be able to apply them. You know, I said in Sunday school, I think this past week, you can be an absolute genius as far as Bible understanding and memorizing the scripture. There are a lot of people can do that. But my point, they a lot of them, if you ask them a question about it, they can't, they're, I don't know, where you go. Starting back with the I don't knows again. And it's hard, it's difficult for them to do that. But, you know, it's a good thing to do that, but it's another thing to be able to answer the real questions of life by this word that's in your life. And you can do it. Now, one of the things I've seen actually happens with me is the first thing that happens that we don't understand, when something happens without our understanding now, our first reaction to it is fear. That's what we do. We're afraid of it. You know, I don't know. I better back up and go some another way. I better do something because I'm afraid of this thing I've seen. So what that causes us to do, the fear part causes us to panic. We panic and do something totally, you know, ridiculous most of the time. I heard a story about a newlywed couple. He had been a skin diver and he took a lot of, I think he'd taken maybe 6 or 8 complete lessons, more than 2 hours at a time. And she had never done that in her life and really had not a lot of interest into it. But he tells her, they're a young married couple. One of them was 19, I think the other was 18. They're going on this, camp out trip, and they're taking all their stuff and they go to this beautiful lake. He puts the scuba gear all on, and he tells her what to do and all this kind of stuff. And then he tells her, okay, when we get out into the lake now with our boat and we kind of jump in, he said there's going to be like a thermal layer that's going to be dark and cold, real cold, near the surface. It goes down a certain number of feet. And then when we get through that, then there's going to be much clearer and it'll be warmer and you'll see, you know, we'll be able to see things down at the bottom while we're scuba diving. He said they got into the water. He said, and lo and behold, they started down into the thermal layer. And right before they got out of the thermal layer, they were just about to go a little deeper to get out of it. And right before they got out of it, he said his wife looked over at him and she took her goggles off, like she was placing them on a shelf, but there was no shelf there. And he said, all of a sudden, I saw she was flipping and all that. He said her fins came off and went to the bottom. He said, and all of a sudden, she took the regulator out of her mouth. And he said, the regulator out of your mouth was not in his instructions to her. That was never, he said, all three of these things you could never do. But she hadn't had any training. She hadn't had any understanding. So now I want you to see from the illustration of the story what happens. She panics, okay? He said, the next thing I know, she's clawing at my head. She's pulled my goggles off. Said, finally, she reaches and pulls the regulator out of my mouth. He said, she is scratching my face. She's fighting me for all this. You ever seen a person drowning and you go out to try to save them? What's the first thing they do when you get there? They're panicked. They're not really sure what you're there to do. They'll fight you tooth and nail till you get them to the bank. And he said his wife kept doing that. He said, I did have a thought about, should I just leave her and go save the goggles and all that stuff that I had bought? But he said, no, I don't think I'm going to. He thought better of that. And anyway, he got her. She thought he was pushing her further down. What he was doing is trying to get under her so he could push her up. And so he finally got her out of the pond, the lake, and he said that was their first marital argument. he said, we have not had another one about skin diving because we've not been back. So anyway, I think that's a great illustration. If you think about how many Christians in here tonight are panicking right now about something, panicking about the news reports we hear every day. You know, that situation is grim, and I just wish we'd see some good news for a change. Here it is, folks. Here's the good news, you know. It just seems like when we get like that lady and we're totally out of breath, we just panic when life situations come to see us. You know, people panic to hear the news report, when they hear the doctor's report about whatever's wrong with them, when they hear about the economy's not going the way it should, so we're not making the kind of money that we think we should make. There's sometimes just a panic and a complete failure to go where the breath of God is. This is the breath. If you can't get enough air, this is it. This is where you get it all, right there. The word of God is understanding to us. We panic when we don't get enough breath. That's what we do. Number two, moving along. The written word brings order. Order. Now, I want to read Ezekiel 7 that we just read. I want to go back up and read that part. He says this, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Now, like I say, it was no skeleton. So this rattling, the breath of God breathed, they're rattling here. He brings the bones in perfect order. He joins bone to bone, the right bone to the right bone. He didn't have one of them out of place by any stretch of the imagination. So Ezekiel said, you know, I saw it happening right in front of my eyes. Verse 8 says, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. So he saw the order of how things are done by God. God does things in an ordered pattern, folks. He always has. Now, look there with me at Psalm 33:6. It says this, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made and all the host of them. How? How were they made? By the breath of God. God breathed on them and they were made. So that's how they were made. And, you know, then in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, I want you to see this. He says this, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, here's kind of what I want you to see about that. Is God, when God spoke, he breathed. Can any of y'all speak without breathing? Can't do it. That's not how we're built. So God, in essence, if you can, you know, and I have a wild imagination about a lot of things, but, I kind of look at that. God's space, let there be light. Did you hear that? I breathed on every word I said, and that's all God did. Let there be light, and it was. There didn't need to be anything else other than the breath of God to create light in this world. That's a very difficult thing to kind of grab a hold of. I know God spoke and he let breath come out. And when he did, it created our world. That's the kind of God that we serve. He said, let there be light. We're not going to understand, Lord, any of the things that are going on in our life today until we get in this owner's manual. You realize if you buy a piece of equipment or something, you got to put it together to get it to work. If you don't read the owner's manual, you're in a heap of trouble. You really are. I've tried it because I thought I was too smart not to have to read it. I was wrong. But you've got to read the owner's manual to put something together. If you want to understand the creation of God, if you want to understand anything about how God created us and he created every one of us here, then you need to look into the owner's manual. Here it is. It's the breath of God that breathes life into people. Now, moving along, Moving along. The third thing is the, I skipped a scripture there on you and I shouldn't have done it. Isaiah 55:11 says this, "So shall my words be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and I shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." His word doesn't come back. It's the breath of God that goes out and it never comes back void, because the breath of God is never wrong. It's always right on time, always. There's never a time that it's not. Now, the next one that I have for you is number three. And boy, y'all are perking up now. Number three in the order. He says, the written word brings strength. The written word brings strength. I don't know how much you've thought about this. I certainly have. Ezekiel, going back to Ezekiel 37:6-8, he says this on the first page there. It says, "I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live." And then in verse 8 it said, "In these, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them yet. But he put the strength factor in them." When he took the bones and he set the bones up by themselves, can you imagine what would have happened if they started trying to work? We know this, folks. You know, we played sports. You've done, been active doing different things. I would venture to say about 80% of us in here probably have had some bone break at one time or another. Our bones are skeletal. They're our support system for our body, but they are brittle. They'll break fairly easily. You know, at least mine do. But those muscles and those tendons and those ligaments, those sinews that he put in with the bones, that's where the strength comes from. God breathed that in there and then it came. That's where your strength and my strength comes from. Now, look at Exodus 15:8-10 that I put in there for you. This is what's known to Christians as the song of who's the guy that led him across the Red Sea? Moses. This is supposed to be the song of Moses. Now, it's believed that Miriam, with the Jewish people, when they crossed through the Red Sea, and the Red Sea's on one side and on the other, and they went all the way through, that God breathed into the sea and caused the sea to part, because that's what he wanted for his people. And he says this in chapter 15:8-10, "And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together." The blast of your nostrils. "The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. And the enemy said, I'll pursue. I'll overtake. I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead through the mighty waters. You blew with your wind, and the sea came down and covered every one of them." Now, like I say, I've got an imagination. I kind of felt like when God parted the sea, whew, you know, he breathed in, parted the sea. And then I kind of got thinking about this. Maybe, you know, it was not by accident. I don't mean that at all. But maybe, you know, God just, well, achoo. And all of a sudden, the water came back over them. Can I tell you that one sneeze from God is all it takes? I don't care what's in your life. I don't care how many Red Seas you've got building up on you. Can I tell you that God's word is good enough for all that? It's stronger than all that. Ask God to sneeze on you and put that Red Sea out of your life when, you know, it's coming, and you need to handle things that way to get the Red Sea where you need it. You know, the Revelation, book of Revelation says this. It says, we will sing the song of Moses in heaven. We will sing the song of Moses in heaven. So if you don't know the song of Moses, then you may have to be looking on the screen in heaven in order to get it. Or I would suggest you go ahead and kind of, you know, bone up on it now so that you'll know. And in that, there's a statement that says, who is like our God? Who is like our God? You know, we get all exasperated and run out of air. And we forget that our God, he is God. He's created everything. He knows what he's doing. And he's big enough for any problem you've got. There's no one problem facing you that one sneeze can't cure. Look at John 20:22 there, on the last, on the third one. He said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on his disciples and said, receive now the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. And that day they were filled with mighty power. Did you ever understand, folks, how many times the word breath and breathe was in the scripture talking about the word of God? I got to doing this study and I got to looking at it and I thought, Lord, there's no end to this. Can I tell you that there was probably one and again more scripture than what I've got on your page that I didn't go to. I just took it out. But it talks about the breath of God. The New Testament is all over it. And also in the Old Testament, as we have served tonight, we've looked at it. Now, the last thing is the written word of God brings life. It brings life. Now, you noticed in the story there, Ezekiel 37:10 says this. It says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. They lived. He breathed. He prophesied. He commanded me, and breath came into them. God's breath, as God's prophet prophesied the word of God, God's given him the word to say. As he prophesied the word, what happened was a result of that is God breathed into them, and they became alive. Now, folks, can you understand just for a moment, if we're just going through life and we're just existing and we're trying to do the very best we can, I hear that some. We need to get the breath of God in us. Because then we'll experience this thing, this life like you wouldn't believe kind of thing. Not just, oh, I'm doing okay, I'm just trying to make it. No, life like you wouldn't believe. I have had in the last week or two, I shared one with my Sunday school class, I have had encounters with people, casual encounters with folks where I have been, and we ended up talking religion. I won't say religion. We talked about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We talked about different things. I had a young boy about 2 weeks ago when I was in, he was in the hearing aid center, which I had gotten hearing aids. But now, as we talked, more and more became apparent to me that he's searching for something. And it was all in scripture. And it was just a beautiful time. We spent, I told you, we spent 45 minutes putting hearing aids. I mean, fully talking about religion. And then we spent probably 10 minutes putting the hearing aids in my ear. And if you notice tonight, they're not in my ear because they're broken. When I go back, I hope he's not really ready to talk. And I want him to fix them. So. But anyway, and there's been other folks. There was a reception at a doctor's office I went to today. And she was, she was just all up. And I thought, good gracious. But you know what? I left there, and the person that's with me said, what in the world are y'all talking about? I said, we're talking about God. Every time I go in there, she'll witness to me. Mr. Maddox, she calls Mr. Maddox. Mr. Maddox, how you doing? I said, I'm fine, you know. And she'll just get off into everything on the sun. Next thing you know, we're both talking about experiences with God. We're talking about church. We're talking about all kinds of things. And it's a beautiful thing. Folks, that's what I'm talking about. There's nothing special about me. You can do it. It can be you. Get in the word of God. That young man asked me, I don't know how many questions he asked me that were all found in the book of Romans that we just happened to be studying in Sunday school for the last year and a half, 2 years. And he asked me all kinds of questions related to that. Now, I believe God put that young man in front of me, and he put me in front of the young man because I was really blessed by talking to this young man. But that's living, folks. That's living with the word in you. That's what that is. That's not just saying, well, you know, everything's okay, I guess, you know. Look at 2 Peter 1:20-21 there. It said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to speak. Holy men of God. They were moved by the Spirit as the Spirit breathed on them and allowed them to speak. The prophets did that. Look at Proverbs 4:20-22 there. They said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. That's the word. That's how powerful this word of God is that we've got a hold of. Look at Genesis 2:7, and I'm wrapping up. He said, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man came alive when the breath got with him. When the breath of God came upon him, he was alive. Folks, can I tell you that when this breath of God right here, it comes upon you, then you're going to need to just be ready to take this breath of God and breathe it in. It's the breath. You realize when you pick this up, you're picking the very essence of the God Almighty. This is his essence. This is his word. It's his breath. We need to understand that in order to get. And what I don't understand, I've been guilty of it. I'll tell you now, is taking your Bibles back and forth to church with you, wearing them out cover to cover. We know this. So we need to find a way to get this breath in us. Now, I'm going to say this, and Brother Frank has no idea what I'm about to say. I'm sure he's nervous now. Yeah. But it is so important for our pastor to have time to prepare in the word. There's nothing that takes the place of it. And I think he would tell you that. Because I know he prepares, and he prepares, spends a lot of time doing it, and he does an excellent job delivering it. But, I got to thinking when I was doing this week, what if he had more time? What if he didn't have to go here and go there and have to do this with this one and do that with the other one and that kind of thing? Folks, some of that work, let me just say to you, some of that's on us. You know what I'm saying? It's on us. Because you know what I want? This is what I want from a pastor, okay? I want someone who can bring the word of God to me. I need the breath. You hear what I'm saying? So I want him to have as much time as he can possibly have from Sunday to Sunday, to where he can have a chance to prepare the way he should. And I think, we need to be, as a church, that I really believe, as the church formed, we've gotten on the other way. We went on the other extreme. Because here's what most small churches do. They call the pastor for everything. And they're not going to believe anything or hear anything or take it seriously until the pastor comes. And folks, that's not the way it was supposed to be. That's just not it. And I hope you'll understand that too, that our pastor needs time to study. He needs time in the word. Because you know why? It's the breath of God. It's the breath of God. And it, in a sense, that study is a super. I know when I have time in study, man, I feel like a power. I feel powerful as I can be. It's the breath of God. That's all it is. You know what we need to do? I'll give you. Take this right here and go home with it tonight and put it right here and go. This is where the power is. This is where the understanding is. This is where the strength is. This is where the life is. Bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we pause before you now, Lord, thanking you for what you have done for us this day. God, we praise you for what your word says to us. Father, we do understand by the evidence of the scriptures, Lord, that it is important, Lord, and it is by the inspiration of the God Almighty. So, Father, we have taken this time to point to what your word says that this is supposed to stand for. This is the word of God. It is the breath of God. Lord, breathe it into these, my brethren. I pray, Lord, set us on fire with revival in our hearts. Lord, because the word of God is so precious. We thank you for this time that we've had to share, and we pray your general blessing on this entire church. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you. I've enjoyed sharing with you. We will see you Sunday morning.